another influence we look to and have drawn a little bit from is Ferran Adrià from El Bulli restaurant
Right.
in Spain. And he's just thrown in the towel,
That's
and
right.
shut down arguably the world's
Well, certainly kind of most award-winning accolade drawing thing
Most
ever.
heavily booked. I think it's over a million reservation requests for 8,000 seats. Yeah, and the reason he did it is he said he didn't have enough time to cook
To do it right.
when you're running that restaurant.
Oh,
And
right. But even when they were running it, they had something called the Tallier, which was this separate kind of space, and their chefs would go to this space. And basically, they just had a bit like here. I mean, if you look around, there's just tons of different malt. There's loads of different hops, and they just basically the chefs would go in there. They had all the ingredients they could want and more, and you couldn't make a mistake. You just had to just try whatever came into
Do
your
it.
head, and it didn't matter if it fucked up. You just had to write down
Because
everything
you're
you'd done.
starting from, I mean, these aren't Muppets off the street. They're not going and just like I would be in a restaurant kitchen and literally picking things at random. You might feel like you're doing it at random, but there's so much background knowledge in your head. And that's, so you've got a decade professional brewing experience. It's not fucking about. It's informed.
It's like
not fucking
that.
I like that. You use that.
It's like, and I can't remember the name I gave it, in France, where they've got a very definite structure to the restaurant system. You've got to do 5 years as a pastry chef, which at point you move on to this 5 years as an assistant chef, and then you move up and up. And you had all these guys in their 20s who look at this and go, 15 years. I've got 15 years before we move up, so I'm just going to go and open my little thing on the side thing. Changes every day. And
you know, that's one of the other reasons for the garage project is this it's something that I became aware of. My mother-in-law's French, and she was telling me about it years ago. That, in France, the winemaking industry is incredibly structured. I mean, the chateaus own the grapes, and there's a structure where the wine comes from is more important than its quality, and I mean, it's so restrictive. And, these people, just one chap in particular, just, thumbed their nose to this, set up something in a garage and called it Vin de Garage, and just started banging out wine, which broke the rules. It was much more kind of new. He'd try anything, and he started winning awards. And, I mean, the shame is for him that he got a bit crapped on. I think basically the shadows managed to shut him down.
Right.
But it was a bit out of the bag by then, and other people have taken his lead, and,
And
that's what we would like to be doing.
Jono mentioned this in his piece, the Beer de Garage type thing. So that was straight away what I wanted to ask is, do you know of any other people who've done this with beer? I couldn't think of
Not
anyone.
Way, no.
Because it's gutsy to put stuff out there. Like I say, you can't really taste it that much beforehand and just see what the public thinks.
It is a bit shit scary, but
You're definitely more scared.
Only at moments. It's exciting. It's
exciting,
and then you suddenly go, oh no, I'm about to release this one.
Because
is it really
the money investment is still, held in check. 50-liter batches. So it's not a whole bunch of money down the drain if you literally had to pour one down the drain. But still, you put your name on it.
That's right.
People go to garageproject.co.nz, it says Pete. It's like, oh crap, that's me. They know I did this. If they don't like it, they have a photo
that's
of
right.
me and my address.
They know me, they know where I live.
No, but I mean, we absolutely want to be putting out beers that we're proud of, and that when we go into Hoshigo, we want people to be excited and happy with what they're getting in their pint glass. But at the same time, if we're not willing to take some risks or put some beers out, maybe a little different, we'll just be banging out hoppy IPAs and hoppy pale ales till the cows come home, because that'll always be a crowd pleaser. But won't necessarily push things forward.
If you're getting things wrong, I mean, to get things wrong, you actually have to stray off the path. Sometimes you'll get it wrong. There will be ones which aren't quite as spot on as we like, but we're hoping it'll be the some that are just, really
unexpectedly good. Out of nowhere. Where you guys maybe didn't even think it would work. But it's worth a punt.
And it's this sort of structure, the way why Ferran has shut down the restaurant. It's, so you can actually just have this time to actually develop stuff, and it's pretty luxurious to set ourselves this time. And we do need to scale up to a larger piece of equipment.
Mm.
But when you think about the larger breweries, you know, I mean, when you have such large capacity and you're really pushing through your range all the time, it's very hard to actually do something different.
Yeah, when a lot of the bigger breweries mature, if they've got the right kind of mindset, they get big and they keep that little experimental side growing. I remember when I visited Little Creatures in Fremantle, they would do little side batches, which would be on tap at the pub, and that would be where they were.
Yeah.
That's kind of matured to the point where they bottle release a lot of those now as well.
Mm.
Like Emerson's, you know, they do the Brewers Reserve series.
Yep.
It's sometimes weird, you know, certainly weirder than their main range. I think they're more of an excellent brewery than they are an experimental brewery. Mm. You know, they tend to just hit the nail on the head rather than, you know, do elaborate craziness.
Mm.
But, yeah, a brewery that's got their head screwed on right will always have that little experimental sideline.
Yeah.
But you guys have just started there.
I mean, yeah, you need that, I think. And it's good for the brewers, too.
Otherwise, surely you just go mad.
And we'll keep this as well. You know, I mean, that's one of the things I'm pointing, to the brew kit. Because, you know, everything that we've got for this stage, our stage one, we've it's gone through a careful process of saying, well, you know, is this going to end up being redundant in stage two?
Yeah.
And if the answer was yes, we just didn't bother. Everything we've got, pretty much, apart from this bank of domestic refrigerators that are surrounding us, we will still have in stage two. So, we'll have a bigger kit, we'll have the capacity to do more so that people don't miss out on Golden Brown because there are only two kegs of it.
Yeah.
But we'll have this as well, and we'll be able to keep that same.
And when you wake up in the morning and you've had that fever dream of something lunatic,
you
just go, actually, I have all the malt, I have everything here, I'm just going to put it on.
Absolutely.
While I do the bigger brew.
Absolutely.
And I'll have that little thing going, which will be, you know, lucky little 50-liter brew kit.
Mm-hmm.
Served you well so far.
Should we move on to
beer of week three?
Beer of week three. I'll see. I don't know if it'll
make
it.
This is a record.
Is it?
You need a career in Foley. That's your third career. Video games, then beer, then Foley.